Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, but it's also an all-Ebola edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We start with the good, and I guess the first good is that, as far as we know, we don't have it yet, Jim. So let's move on to the second part of the good martini and how it could be affecting one race in particular. And it's kind of ironic because a little while ago, probably a few weeks ago, we played a really twisted ad from Mark Pryor suggesting that Tom Cotton is somehow uniquely responsible for the spread of the Ebola virus. Yet when it came time to assess the Obama administration's handling of the issue, Mr. Pryor was all tongue-tied when interviewed by NBC's Casey Hunt at an event last week. Here's how that went.
Do you think that the Obama administration has done an appropriate job handling the crisis?
It's hard to know because I haven't heard the latest briefing on that to know all the details. I mean, I read the paper and all, but my impression is that we have people over there, both from CDC and other medical-type people and even some engineers to try to build, medical facilities. That's what they need over there. They need the medical infrastructure.
And have you been aggressive enough in helping them get it?
I'd have to see the latest numbers.
I just accused my opponent of this problem, but I have no idea what's going on.
You know, Greg, sometimes I will listen to the Three Martini Lunch, and obviously you never quite get used to the tone of your own voice, but it sounds on audio. And the thing that stands out to me is sometimes I will let out an or an and I feel a little bad about that. But I don't feel so bad about it this morning. Because I'm not a U.S. senator who has been asked about an issue that I have just deliberately chosen to make the preliminary issue of attack on my opponent. And I will spare you, but as a fellow dad of two, at some point, Greg, you'll have to watch the Lego movie. And there's a moment where one of the characters does, and it goes on for a good, like, 90 seconds. Pryor doesn't quite reach that. And I also was reassured by his answer that I think he did put his finger on what we really need to resolve this, Greg. You notice that?
What's that?
Medical type people. I mean, that's really a technical biomedical term for the people who respond to these sorts of things. Yeah, it's a terrible answer. And ordinarily you'd say, look, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if the administration is handling this correctly or not. The news in our second martini certainly points to no. But what's kind of jumping out about it is you can't go out and say, well, my opponent is the problem because he voted for the, and then turn around and say, well, is the administration handling it correctly? Hell if I know, man. I have no idea what to do here. Mark Pryor is kind of a typical senator in the sense that he just does what his staff tells him. He's not really an expert on any of these things. He just goes, he has his staff taking care of these sorts of things, and he hopes he's voting the right way, takes his guidance from Harry Reid, takes his guidance from the administration, and nods and smiles and reads the lines that are prepared for him by the speechwriters and hopes that everything turns out okay. Mark Pryor doesn't know what he's doing. By the way, Tom Cotton, this guy who he's saying is this nefarious idiot, besides having a decorated military career and veteran and all that stuff, he also has like 2 degrees from the Ivy Leagues. So Tom Cotton might actually know what he's talking about in terms of these topics. But anyway, so that's our good martini, Greg. And I remind all of our listeners that vodka is a disinfectant.
There you go. All right. Speaking of needing disinfectants, the bad news that broke over the weekend, of course, was that one of the nurses in Dallas that attended to the man who immigrated to the country from Liberia and died last week has now been diagnosed with Ebola herself. Fortunately, it appears that she's stable and her life may be able to be saved. I think it's too early to say that for sure. But we also found out that she was wearing, that kind of hazmat protective gear while dealing with this patient, and she still got it. And the CDC, of course, insisting that, well, even though she can't think of a way that she possibly could have gotten contaminated by not following protocol, that had to be what happened. So one thing or another is true here, Jim. Either it's really easy to get this if the slightest bit of protocol isn't followed, or even protocol's not good enough.
Of all of our bad martinis, this one ranks up there. And what particularly is unnerving about it is the administration and other health experts, folks at the CDC, NIH, keep giving us really definitive statements. I mean, it was not that long ago, President Obama was assuring us that it was extremely unlikely anyone would come to the United States with Ebola. And that happened. So perhaps it's not as unlikely as they thought. And then they said, no, wait, we're going to stop it in its tracks, was what the term that the CDC director said. It doesn't seem all that stopped. The other thing which is worth noting is that for obvious reasons, we're seeing a little bit of a panic. People, anybody who has symptoms that they think, you know, elevated temperature and fever and things like that, nausea, are probably going to go to the hospital saying, oh my goodness, I might have Ebola. Now, the majority of these cases, it's probably not going to be Ebola. But medical professionals, out of an abundance of caution, have to treat them like they're potential Ebolas, which is why you keep getting someone just checked into a hospital and they're being treated, you know, as a precaution for, you know, treating it as Ebola. There was that gentleman up in New York City a couple of months ago. We're going to keep having reports. And I think each one is going to kind of, you know, fuel the next person saying, hey, I feel a little warm. Is that Ebola coming on? The other thing is that I kind of, you get the feeling that we're pretty sure how this thing gets spread, but not entirely, because there was that contradiction within one conversation in which what constitutes close contact. According to one measurement, being within 3 feet of another person is close contact. And boy, doesn't that make the issue of flying on an airplane seem a little unnerving, Greg?
Just a tad, yes.
No, because yes, you're definitely within 3 feet. You know, is sneezing qualifying it? Anecdotal report on Twitter, I haven't been able to check this out, but somebody said that someone on a TSA security line vomited. There was no precautions taken or anything like that. Now, this person may or may not have been going from West Africa or something like that, but all of a sudden these things, which are just ordinarily disgusting and unpleasant, now have to be treated with a great deal more seriousness, and it does not appear, according to this person, there was nothing going on indicating the possibility this person had just, you know, projectile vomited Ebola viruses all over the place. So the idea that any small error in terms of the precaution, stuff like that, is certainly unnerving. This morning, the state of Louisiana, I guess, is usually where they have landfills that usually get some of the medical waste from Dallas. And now they're saying, please don't bring that to our state. We don't want it brought if it's got, you know, active virus stuff on it, which I think, I don't know whether that's necessarily a needed precaution, but it certainly kind of indicates that this, we're still kind of in uncharted territory here, and I kind of wish the administration and all these officials would stop giving us absolutely certain. I just wish they would level with us and treat us like grown-ups, treat us as if we can handle this. The process of trying to avoid a panic, if there's any whiff of dishonesty going on in this, people will actually then start to panic because they don't trust the official statements.
Hmm. All right, on to the crazy martini, and this truly qualifies for that as well. This is an ad from the Tax-Exempt Agenda Project. Jim reports on this morning in the campaign spot. They have decided that despite the Obama administration, as Jim just mentioned, saying for weeks and weeks that Americans have nothing to worry about, and now that it's here, we're going to contain it, and that's not a problem. Well, apparently now that they have not followed through on all those things, now it's officially the Republicans' fault. Here's the ad coming from the Agenda Project.
Washington actually can cut spending.
The CDC says its discretionary funding has been cut by $585 million since 2010.
Cut. Less government.
Cut.
Cut.
Cut. Cut.
Our budget has been flat since 2003. Responding to an emerging infectious disease threat, this is particularly damaging.
Cut. Cut.
That was the left hook.
Cut. Cut. Cut.
The right cross was the sequestration.
Cut. Cut.
The NIH saw its budget slashed by $446 million.
Cut.
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 There are outbreaks happening today that we're not able to recognize, stop, or prevent as effectively as we should be able to.
Cut.
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 Make a cut.
Jim, Mitt Romney only killed one guy's wife. This is like the whole party's responsible for killing thousands now.
Republicans are trying to kill all of us, is the vibe of this. Now, this, by the way, first of all, a couple of notes on this group, spotlighted earlier this morning on the campaign spot. One is they're tax exempt. Don't you feel good about that, Greg?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Why should a group like that pay tax? Because clearly they're not partisan, right? Even though the closing line is Republican cuts kill,
Yes. They
still get to claim, and it says vote. It doesn't say vote for the Democrats. It just says vote. They still get to claim that they're a nonpartisan organization. But I'm sure the IRS will get right on that, right, Greg?
Sure.
But also keep in mind, this is the same group that did the Paul Ryan pushing Granny off a cliff ad. So once you know that, oh, this is who they are. Their gist is Republicans are serial killers, and any attempt to cut anything is akin to, is the moral equivalent of murder. And they will run ludicrously over the top ads in an attempt to get you to vote for Democrats, even though they're a nonpartisan organization. Now, look, NIA budget has doubled since 2000. The big increase post 9/11 because of the anthrax mailings and things like that. So we spend a lot of money, stuff like $1 billion on healthcare.gov, for example, but it doesn't go towards Ebola research. Now they got the NIH director saying, well, gee, if we'd had more money, we could have necessarily had might have had a vaccine by now. No. They had $3 billion that went to the Prevention and Public Health Fund, which was part of Obamacare, spending a whole lot more money on public health. A lot of it went to community health stuff, including trying to get good grocers in poorer neighborhoods and other things like that. $180 million went towards laboratory capacity and epidemiology. So don't blame the Republicans. Blame NIH for not considering stopping Ebola a high enough priority. But all this other stuff, and I just saw a little bit a moment ago, apparently one of their studies involved putting shrimp on treadmills. I don't know if we're trying to get less fat shrimp. Guys, that's extending the Less Move campaign to crustaceans, Greg.
I guess. That creates a visual I can't even really imagine, quite frankly. Jim, like we said, kind of a bizarre way to start the week. Anytime you have an all Ebola three-martini lunch, it's not going to be all sunshine and roses. But
Not what we expected to be talking about 3 weeks before Election Day, huh?
No, not in the least. But it still plays in. Jim, we'll do it again tomorrow. See you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next three-martini lunch.